Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Bigfoot and Company. This is Dr. John. So glad for everyone to be with us today. We got a great show. We got a great crew. We're going to be talking to and just a lot of good things happening. As I said, this is Dr. John. Matt Delf, my co-host, how are you doing today?
Oh, we're doing excellent. Living the dream, living the dream.
Living the dream? Seen any Bigfoot recently?
Not recently. At our expedition.
Not this week.
No. None this week, no.
Okay, good. Your expedition, how was that?
It was pretty good. Didn't have a whole lot of activity. Others had some possible activity, but where I went, we didn't have much activity. Just your normal nature. Seen some bear tracks that were pretty fresh, but other than that, some deer, bear, you know, just your normal stuff. But that area is a hotbed, so
better like snoozing
next time.
Right?
Yep.
They're just snoozing. Well, that's okay. Occasionally Bigfoot has to take snooze, you know, get kind of timing around
yep.
in the woods. Well, we are pleased to have as part two, Michael. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. As the phone line seems kind of shaky. How am I sounding on your side?
You're perfect. You are just perfect.
Yeah, I can
okay.
hear you pretty good.
Okay, good. Well, I'm doing all right. I mean, you know, after I went to your Bigfoot conference in Georgia, in Clayton. Man, all kind of
mm-hmm.
boost of energy happened, and I've been making all kind of connections and new friends and understanding new things. So I want to thank you for that. You brought a good show.
Well, that's the whole purpose of running a conference is to get people together. You meet folks. It's amazing what happens, and that's why ultimately any of us that run shows or festivals or conferences, we do them to bring people together. To bring people together, and it's just a lot of fun. I met some great, some folks that I, you know, stay in touch with, really on the reg since the conference, and we share a lot of things. So it's really good. And thank you for the compliment. And, you know, I was there working hard trying to run it. Matt was there trying to keep everybody in tow in the main room down there, and so we had a good time. And thanks again for being here. Now, I wanted to have you back because things got pretty good there toward the end. And I'm going to turn the first question over to Matthew Delf. And Matt, kind of continue with where we were, and then we will launch into another great episode of Bigfoot and Company with Mike Harrell. All you, Matt.
Okay. Well, my first question, we're talking about how everything is energy. And
yeah, everything is energy, yeah.
Okay, and Sasquatch is a high-energy being, and that's how we get the self-illuminated eye shine. Now, we had talked
yep.
about the power lines, the power grids. They're seen around a lot of power lines. And I've been doing a lot of looking into that, and I believe they might be getting some of the power. You know, that's why they travel the power lines, because of the energy. And I took a note. I was sitting there thinking, I know you guys have seen the 1962 King Kong versus Godzilla, and King Kong got zapped by lightning in that movie, and it gave him these extra powers. And I'm wondering if there's a, you know, something to go along with that, if that's what helps the Bigfoot, the energy, getting electric.
Well,
from what I hear, it may
well be true, because the Sasquatch themselves talk about how they're here trying to on Earth. One of the things that they do is try to keep the ley lines, which is the Earth's grid, energy grid, keep them all clear. And there's lots of stories of Sasquatch being in these power spots or having to having to get onto these ley lines and they sleep on them, so they gather enough energy, and when they have enough energy, they can open portals. So the idea of having high, you know, super high voltage lines, what are they, 4,000 volts or something, whatever they are, those super high powered voltage lines that go across Omega, it could be something to it. I don't know, but I know they're high energy beings, and I'm not really sure what limits you could put on them.
Michael, I'm going to jump in here. I have a question for you, and this is on behalf of people that are listening. You talk about ley lines. Tell us, can you give us just a little bit about them for people to understand what they are? Because a lot of people have heard of them, but they've never really, they really don't know what they are.
Repeat the first part again.
Yeah, the ley lines. Tell us a little about ley lines.
Okay, ley lines. So we have meridians in our body, you know, it's like where our nerves flow. And that's what the acupuncturists use. They put a little needle on these different points in your body, and that's to make the energy flow in your body. Well, the Earth herself has these energy lines. And just like there's some places around the Earth that have high or low magnetic fields, there's also an energy grid, like a living energy grid that goes all around the whole planet. And when they cross, like the most famous one, I think, one of the most famous ones is the pyramids in Egypt. They're right in the middle of a big ley lines, energy lines. And then the Stonehenge in England is a convergence of three or four of these ley lines that happen to cross right there where that Stonehenge is. And all those Neolithic sites, they're almost all built on top of the ley lines, and then comes the church comes later, and they built churches on top of the ley lines because they have a higher energy to them. And then if you go out and you see where cattle walks are, or where the animals go from one part of the country, one part of a valley to another. Those are almost always on ley lines. They follow the ley lines because they gather energy. And this is just like an ancient thing that we used to know about this stuff because in England, in Ireland, they have what they call standing stones. And then what the Irish people did is they would put up these standing stones on the ley lines. And so if you're going to, back before they had horses and stuff, if you're going to walk across the country, what you do is you go to a standing stone and put your back against it, and then you look around, you scan the horizon until you see another standing stone, and then you would walk towards that standing stone because the standing stones were marking the ley lines. And then if you walk along those ley lines, it takes you a lot less energy. You don't get so tired. So that's what that's all about. And also the portals take energy to open. There's natural portals, and there's portals all over the world, but there's natural portals, and then there's portals that the Sasquatch people or the ET people can open, and this takes energy, and so the Sasquatch people need energy to do that. So it's entirely possible that they can also take energy from the high tension lines. I know there's been reports, I like to talk about the ETs and the Sasquatch, because I think they're on the same team doing the same kind of stuff. But there's lots of stories of the craft will go over power stations, and they'll fly over these high tension, the voltage lines. They'll fly over them and hover around. So I know that they can gather energy that way. But I can't actually put it in the bank and say that's really what it is. I just think it's entirely possible.
Right.
I definitely think it's a coincidence where they all match up, you know it?
Yep.
I'm going to say it's no coincidence. I'll say it's reality. I think that's what you meant. I mean, I think it's really, the lines are very interesting. they're not. It's not like you're getting, you know, meridians and you know, you're not getting latitude and longitude here. You're getting basically lines that draw from one location to another, and
yep.
many of them tend to intersect. Now, there's just a lot going on there, and I have had some talks with some folks recently about energy locations that seem to indicate that there might be some ley lines that people have not discussed, which is interesting. So, I mean, we're going to work on those. I'm looking at those with some folks. But, you know, the fact that Sasquatch is an energy being, we're all energy beings. And it takes energy to open a portal. I mean, you just don't snap your finger, portal opens. It takes a lot of work to do it. And I'm really fortunate that we're starting to understand some of this. I mean, regardless of what people say, people don't want to listen to what's real, you know, the new things, you know, science. Well, I think what really disheartened me more than anything else was when I saw an article in the New York Times that scientists are now beginning to believe UFOs are real. Now, you know, that's what they're really, they're only 7,000 years old. And I'm sorry for them. But that's neither here nor there, and it's just Dr. John being crazy, and a lot of people like what I say, but you know, I have reasons for it. So please continue, Michael. I'm sorry I had to just get that in there, and I wanted to get a little bit of the ley lines out to people because I think they're very important.
Well, let's go back to energy. You know, when you talk about everything is energy, like Matthew was talking about, everything is energy. And that's kind of an important place to start. So if you look into the darkness of space, it's vast, right? But the darkness
Absolutely.
Of space, the darkness of space is not void. It has energy in it. And everything is created out of that energy. Everything emerges from that energy. So the way you could describe that energy is it's absolute inclusivity and unconditional love. And this is kind of important because the absolute inclusivity means it's inclusive of everything. That's where you get the all one and everything's connected to everything. And the unconditional love is the feeling of that energy. So the purest that energy is love. So this is why the people who are enlightened, like the gurus in India and the saints and the Christ type figures and those kind of ascended masters, whenever you get around those people, you get a real boost of love. And this is what's going on with Sasquatch people. When you feel, if you're just a hunter out there, you may not feel this, but the people who are close to the Sasquatch people, they feel this incredible love energy coming from them. And the love energy comes from being a real high vibration of the source energy. Well, I think this is really important, but because the dog man can do it, so that even though they give a lot of fear, they can also give a lot of love, like a wolf, you know, like a dog. They can bark at you and scare you, but they also have this incredible love, right? Well, these higher any of those interdimensional beings, they can transmit the feelings onto you, and when it's love, you know what kind of a being they are, is because they've attained a high state of purity of their energy. So then the other thing I want to say about energy is connected to consciousness, and this is so critical. The definition of consciousness is this, is that everything is energy, and the feeling of the energy is what consciousness is. What we call consciousness is nothing more than the feeling of energy. Light, we feel light, we feel sound, we feel touch, we feel ourselves. It's the feeling of the energy, of whatever that energy is. However that energy manifests, if it's a rough surface or a smooth surface, that's the feeling of an energy. And it's like with music, right? There's all this different kind of music. Music is just vibrations, right? It is vibrations in the air. but you have classical music, rock and roll music, country music, all these different kinds of music are the different feelings of the energy. It's the same energy, you see? And this is how everything is created. And I just think people should know that. And here's the difference between consciousness and mind. Mind holds the pattern. Mind holds the patterns of the energy. So, you know, some people like country and Western or country music, and their mind responds to that, and they hold all those patterns, so they're a fan. And other people like rock and roll, so their mind responds to those kind of patterns, yeah? And so the mind has a lot to do with it for recognizing the pattern of the energy. And this is one of the reasons why I'm talking to you guys is because the Sasquatch have a very high energy signature, but we don't have a mind that recognizes that pattern. And that's why I keep saying, look, the saints had this kind of energy. The saints could go invisible. The saints could disappear. The saints could fly, you know, and change their density. And the enlightened men can be in one location or another. They can manifest things out of thin air. You see what I'm saying? Trying to let the mind recognize the pattern of very high interdimensional beings instead of saying what the mind only says is like, oh, it's just a body. It's just an animal. Well, everything is, first of all, there is no such thing as actual matter. It's all just energy condensed into form. So everything is energy, and the space in between our atoms is like, you know, is like huge. It's, you know, so we're 99% space and only like 1% energy, 1% atoms. So if you think in terms of energy, and the energy has a feeling to it, and that feeling tells you about the quality and the pattern, and the mind recognizes the pattern. And this is how mind speak works. This is how religion works. This is how life works.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So what you're saying is the mind, we need to learn to recognize patterns of energy in our mind, and that's what constitutes the recognition of mind. Is that correct, Michael?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I'll give you an example. How many times have you heard the Sasquatch, the hunters go out there and say, all of a sudden, all the animals went quiet. And there was no sound, right? Well, this was,
yep.
And because, and then they say, oh, this is a predator, or this is Sasquatch there. Well, then how is one Sasquatch going to turn off all the sound of every bug and every bird and every creature for like a mile around? How does that happen? It's because their energy it puts out a frequency that all of the animals, all the trees, all the bugs, all the birds, they hear, they feel that vibration, and they go quiet. They go on alert. They just, you know what I'm saying? And other animals can do this too, but that's a pretty sophisticated way of dealing with the energy. And then here's another example. So the hunter's in there, and he has bad thoughts in his head, and you know, or maybe some young people out there drinking or whatever, they have sort of bad thoughts in their head. And then they get this feeling of, oh, my God, I felt the worst fear I've ever felt in my life. I felt like I needed to get out of there, right? There's nobody around. They can't see anybody, nothing, right? But they get this overwhelming feeling to get out of Dodge, to go home, that they're not wanted. And it was a fear, a dread, and sometimes it gives them nightmares. Well, how does that happen? That's 100% the Sasquatch being able to project that fear and saying, this is not your place. You're bothering me, and I'm getting pissed off, and you should be afraid. But there's no words there. It is just the feeling of the energy, and that's what psychic, that's the paranormal, that's what the woo is. And everything is woo. We think that woo is, you know, like maybe Uri Geller bending a spoon with his thumb or something, or you know, moving a little feather with your mind or something. But actually, every single thing we do is woo. And I'll give you an example of that. If you take your hand and wave it in front of your face, right, and you wave it up and down, up and down, up and down, right, in order for that to happen, you have to have a psychic impression, an image, an impulse in your head first before it starts to happen. And then if you have your arm wiggling up and down and then you tell it to stop, right, the impulse for it to go, to start and stop and start and stop, it has to happen before the body responds to it. This is phenomenal. So basically what I'm saying is everything we do is a psychic impulse first. And I'll explain it to you this way. We think we have like these wires that go from our head down our arms and down to the cells in our body. But our body has like between 60 and 100 trillion cells in it. Yeah? Try to put that number in perspective. 100 trillion cells. Well, that would mean, let's say there's 20 trillion cells in your arm, elbow, and shoulder. 20 trillion cells. So for me to shake my hand in front of my face like that, that means my brain would have to send a signal to 20 trillion cells to have them make proteins that either expand the muscles or contract the muscles for it to go up and down. You see what I'm saying? It's impossible. There's no possible way that you could move your body just with the nerves in your brain. It is a psychic impression. The DNA in our body is tuned to the psychic vibration of the energy. When we put out the energy of the idea of moving your hand or talking, then the body responds to it in real time. So we think it's in real time, but it's not. It actually has to do with like a time lag, which is in and out of time. I'll give you another example of it. Like I'm talking now, right? And as I'm talking, each of you has an impression in your head and a fully formed idea pretty much of what you want to say before you say it. So am I right?
Oh, of course, of course.
Well, I think you are.
So that impression, that is one of the ways you can tell the psychic energy that you have before you do something is most obvious in conversation, because you have to hold back on your thoughts until the person stops talking and then you talk. You see what I'm saying? So everything, this whole thing about woo, you know, this, is it a spiritual Sasquatch? Well, the thing is, it is us. We are spiritual. We are psychic. And we are psychic 100%, but our mind doesn't see the pattern. And I was just giving you examples of the pattern of why it is psychic, so that you can have the pattern saying, oh, everything we do is psychic. We're 100% psychic beings. Yeah? We're 100% energy beings.
Yep. So your body, your brain gives up the energy. That's what I was going to say. Just your brain, your brain send out the energy, the psychic part, and then your body reacts, correct?
Right. Every cell reacts real time, so that your body, so you can, you know, like if you're going to catch a fly, right? Before you catch the fly, like a 7/10 of a second before you try to catch the fly, your mind sends out this whole impulse of the desire to do that, and all of the cells in your body and your shoulder and your chest and your breath and your neck and your fingers, all those things all simultaneously move as one and try to catch the fly. Okay? It's phenomenal. That's all psychic. They did this thing at the Heart Math Institute, And what they did was they had these people hooked up to all these things on their head and to try to figure out how the brain works and all this kind of stuff. And they had stuff hooked up to the heart to see which is going better, the heart or the brain. And then they had these people look at a video screen, right? And in the video screen, it just showed pictures. Every few seconds, every 10 seconds, they would show a picture. You know, a flower, a puppy, and then something else. And then maybe a snake, and then another like a scene of the mountains or something. You see, so they would throw in some alarming pictures, and then they would throw in some kind of calming, nice pictures, right? And it was all timed out, but the order that the pictures were in was random. It was a random generator. And what they found out was that the heart responded. So it was like, okay, there's the beautiful mountain, and then there comes the puppy, and then comes the snake, right? And each time they're watching it for like 10 seconds, right? So from the puppy to the snake, before the snake image was there, the heart started to beat faster. Up to 7 seconds before the picture of the snake was flashed on them, the heart beat faster. The breathing changed. You see what I'm saying? Before the picture came. So this just goes to show you that we're 100% psychic, and we're in this sort of like this what do you call it? Beyond time kind of thing. There's a time blur here. So that means our body has to be willing to respond to a danger before the danger happens. Okay. And I'll give you an example. If you say boo to somebody, right? When you say boo to a person and you see they jump instantly, right? Am I right?
Yep.
You say boo. Right. Right? And in a snap of the fingers, they jump and they turn around, oh, you scared me, right? But in order for their whole entire body to respond in a snap of fingers, that means their body had to know that this danger, scary thing was going to happen before it happened, up to 7 seconds before it happened, so that all the nerves in the body, all the cells in the body were ready for this to be able to respond at the exact same time as the boo. I mean, you're talking about 60 trillion cells. That's a lot of communication. The only way that can happen is if our DNA is actually psychic antenna to the energy and can read the energy. So that's pretty powerful stuff.
And
the reason why I'm saying all this is because
The
Sasquatch are very far advanced in this same kind of understanding. They understand how this works.
Certainly they do.
Definitely
I wanted to mention something. Michael, I wanted to mention something that along with this, working at the Ryan Research Institute, we'd come up with the fact that the body does anticipate stimuli. But the entire scientific world ignored that result. They simply ignore it. And I think that's just sad. They don't want to realize that's the way it is. It's one reason I got out of the, quote, scientific community, because it was pretty damn unscientific. But they ignore those results that were in journals, refereed journals, about anticipation. And I think it's amazing that we're sitting here talking about it. It's important. It's a great result. But they don't care. It doesn't fit in with what they want to do. So that's kind of the barrier that we have when we're trying to get new thought into current-day thinking. I mean, they're not interested in results. They're interested in what they did. And I think it's very sad. And I don't know what changes. I really don't. Have you got any ideas?
Sad.
Because, I mean, the stuff has been out there. These results have been out there for 20 years in every journal.
It's been out there.
And everybody
listen, it's been out there for 100 years. 100 years. They did this thing called the double-slit experiment to try to find out whether a photon of light is either a wave or a particle, right? And so they did this experiment, and then they couldn't quite figure out why we weren't getting the kind of results they were wanting. Because when they would shoot one photon of light at a time through the double slit, it ended up being a wave. And they said it can't be a wave and go through both slits at the same time. So that blew their mind. So then they put detectors out there, which would observe a judge see would feel the pattern, and as soon as they put the judge, the judges out there, the observers, the detectors, then it collapsed the wave function, and it went from being a wave into being a light particle. So
it has to be the expectation. If you have an experiment and you expect it to be a wave, it will be a wave. But if you expect it and observe accordingly to be a particle, it will be a particle. And that's, again, they acknowledge that. But
that's as far as anyone goes. What they realized was that the idea of looking, just the idea of throwing your eyes out there and observing, changed the property of matter from a wave to a particle. And here's this guy, Max Planck. Max Planck was one of the fathers of quantum physics, which is whatever's the big thing now, right? Quantum physics. And it goes, and this is his quote: "I regard consciousness as fundamental. I regard matter as derivative from consciousness. We cannot get behind consciousness. Everything we talk about and everything we regard as existing postulates consciousness." This is Max Planck, and they all knew this. It was like 1909 to 1919, something like that. This has been 100 years that they knew that consciousness was fundamental in reality. And then the other thing that was amazing about quantum physics is the idea of entanglement. That means two photons, once they become entangled, doesn't matter where they are in space, they will be entangled. So you spin one way and the other one spins in response without being touched. It's called spooky action at a distance. That means it's entanglement. And here's the way entanglement goes, right? I'll give you an example of this, right? They had these guys. This is recent, I think last few years. They had some guys men and women, who were very good at being emotional. And what they did is they took some DNA they could isolate this DNA. They took this DNA from this guy's body, from like his spit or something, and they put it in a little container, and then they put it like in this microscope so they could watch it. Okay, and then they take it and put it in another room. So his DNA is in his room, and his DNA is in a little tiny bottle in another room. And they have this guy go through different emotions: happy, sad, anger, terror, fear, right? And then they would watch the DNA. And the DNA in the bottle in the next room was responding the same way his DNA in his own body was responding. And then they moved it away 3 or 4 miles, and it did the same thing. This isn't quantum entanglement, okay? And then the furthest they could get was, just because they ran out of money and funding, was 230 miles away. So 230 miles away, they have this microscope with a camera on it. And when this guy would move his emotions and be happy or sad or joyful or feel terror, right, that would do the same thing. It would send that psychic impression through his whole body, and so his whole body was reacting, of course, as it would. You know, if you're thinking about being happy or sad, your whole body changes, right? Then 230 miles away, the DNA in the little sample was doing the exact same thing. That is quantum entanglement. That's the way life works, and that's the way it works between parent and child. You know, the pattern of our life is based on our patterns of our parents. So whatever our parents are going through, we feel it instantly as well. Every family is entangled. And this has a lot to do with Sasquatch and with the ET people and with nature and all that kind of stuff, because the Sasquatch, you know, when they get around you, they will actually tag you. They will like become entangled with you. They'll come by and they'll zap you, or they'll do something to you, or they'll come to you in different ways, and then they become entangled. And there's too many stories of people say, oh, I have a Sasquatch friend at my house, right? We've been friends for years. And then I went to another state. I went up to Washington, or I went out to Texas, and then the Sasquatch recognized me there, you see, because The Sasquatch could feel the entanglement, and that's what the All One is about. The All One is about is the energy of entanglement can be felt. The energy of entanglement between one species or another, or one Sasquatch and another, or one human and another, one family member and another, that entanglement can be felt. And that's what consciousness is. Pretty cool stuff, huh?
Yeah, that definitely explains where some people, like, for example, we know a friend that first started experienced Bigfoot in one state, and then years later moved to another state, and it's like, boom, it's there too. That explains that a lot, definitely.
That's exactly how it works. Because the Sasquatch, you see, we have our mind, and our mind goes to all the patterns of our society, right? We have the banking, and we have money, and the workaday world, and entertainment. And our mind is all busy in all this kind of stuff. And we really don't have that much time. We don't spend very much time just being still and feeling the energy. But the Sasquatch, they're out there in the woods. They don't talk. All they do is feel the energy. And this is the difference between them and us. This is the difference. And we call them uncivilized. But they know more about energy than we do because that's what they feel. And that's how they do most of what they do.
It makes sense.
And they're physical. They're physical. They just feel the energy.
Right. That's excellent.
Well, I mean, I think we're talking about Michael. Is, again, when I was at the RAM, we were studying psychic ability, and we're studying the ability for people to feel things from other people over distances. And it was found that distance matter. It could be in the next room, or it could be on another continent. It could be in Europe. We're here in America. Is that people, when they get a sense of what's going on, that sense, it's almost infinite. It goes everywhere, and they can pick up on it. Like, well, for example, I mean, I'll give a sad story. When my mother passed away, I was at a restaurant 3 miles from my home. This jolt of electricity going through my body. I knew my mother had passed away. Yet I've talked with other folks who've been miles away, you know, from L.A. to Charlotte away, and they felt the same thing when they had a parent or someone, or a spouse, or somebody very close, die. And it's basically this energy connection, it's infinite. It just exists. It exists everywhere. Michael, it makes a pretty crowded universe, don't you think?
Yeah, it's a crowded universe, and naturally, we have gates. In other words, we can't be tuned in to every single person, bug, bee, plant, animal, dog, tree, and every. We can't be plugged into them all the time. So we gate down to what's important to us in order to survive. You know, you don't have to talk to a tree every day to survive, and you may not have to talk to even your parents every day to survive. So we shut down our antenna to conserve energy, and also to not be crazy, because if you listen to what every single person was saying around you in a bus, you'd go nuts, you know what I mean? So we gate it down. But it doesn't mean – that doesn't stop the energy. It just means we don't receive it. And those people like the psychic people, the empath people, the people who are trained in remote viewing, they have their gates more open. And that's all it is to it. You know, we have all the same, what do you call it, abilities. It's just we have more gates, more doors closed, more layers of stuff that we pay attention to, and we don't pay attention to other things. Like here's an example, like beliefs, how beliefs work. Like, let's say I'm a Christian, right? And I believe that I'm a Christian, yeah? And what does that belief mean? It means that I don't believe being a Muslim. I don't believe in being a Hindu. I don't believe in being a Jew. I don't believe, you see what I'm saying? There's 1,300 religions on the planet, and I'm a Christian, and that means I don't believe I am gated to 1,300 religions. You see what I'm saying? So I feel like my religion is the best or whatever. And it's the same thing with any belief. If you believe that Sasquatch is only a physical animal, then you have to deny, then you don't believe in mind speak, you don't believe in woo, you don't believe in invisibility, you don't believe in psychic contact, you don't believe in downloads of information from a higher source. You see what I'm saying? You have to like gate all of those things that are paranormal. You've put all your money on one horse, right? They're just physical. They're just this. They're just that. And then you apply that to yourself too. But here's the thing: is as soon as you start seeing that, well, some people can see ghosts and some people can't. Some people can hear from the dead or channel the dead or channel spirits, and some people can't, right? But what happens is the same thing when it goes with Sasquatch. If Sasquatch has this ability and I don't, then what does that mean? That means I have to change my beliefs. Yeah, I have to change my beliefs about who I am. If Sasquatch are actually very high spiritual beings, then what does that make me? It's chopped liver. And this is what you call cognitive dissonance. Yeah, nobody wants to do that. You know, if you find out that if somebody said to a Christian, well, there is one source for all religions, so all religions are underneath this one source, and you wouldn't want to let go of your religion to say, oh, well, it's this. You know, it is that light inside of humans. It's the light of life. That's what's real. And then that would kind of destroy all those religions, see? So people don't do that. So they gate down. They gate down. So belief is actually, and then belief is actually a war, right? If I say something different to you, then I'm attacking your belief. And then you have to defend your belief, right? Or turn around and attack my belief. And this is when you see the researchers, how they're always at each other's throat. You know, I don't know if they're still that way, but they used to like be really catty and say, I know this and you don't know that, and I know everything and you don't know nothing. And they're going back and forth because they're in belief wars, you know, attack the other guy's belief. And that's kind of a tragedy. That's kind of sad, you know.
Well, you're talking about that. That kind of goes into the effect of the law of attraction.
It does.
If you see it and believe it, and you put your energy on it, that's what makes it happen.
That's absolutely
Definitely.
True.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And for the same thing with these hunters, if they don't believe in the psychic stuff, they don't believe in the woo, then they can actually walk in the woods for literally years, and they can see things and hear things and feel things that are completely woo, and never acknowledge it, never open up to it, never even think about it. They go hunting and they go, oh, that's strange, and then they walk home. Never feel it, never recognize it, light bulb never goes on. You know what I'm saying? Because they're all gated. There is no such thing as woo. Or they flip the script on it and they think, well, it's all demonic. If it is woo, then it's demonic. You know? And
yeah, I've heard that.
It's just energy, and energy is not demonic. It's either good feeling energy or bad feeling energy, but it's not necessarily demonic. That's just another gate. But there is bad energy out there, and you're supposed to feel it. We're supposed to feel if a panther's gonna there, a bobcat's trying to get us. You're supposed to be able to feel that. You would call that bad, you know, or a badger. You know, you're supposed to be able to feel that stuff. And if you're gated from it, then that's not a good thing for the evolution. It could get you killed. Same thing with bears.
And you make a good point there. It's like whenever I had my encounter, it was an aggressive encounter, but I believe it had to be an aggressive encounter to get my mind to switch channels. I believe that's the whole purpose that it happened. Not because it was wanting to hurt me, it was wanting to traumatize me to get me to look outside the box, change the channel that my brain has functioned on to open it up to get to where I am now. So it definitely
there you
makes
go.
Sense.
That totally makes sense. And what kind of changes did it make for you? If you weren't exactly triggered deeply into fear and you say, I'm going to leave this woods forever and never come back, something else happened, which made you become what? Interested? You want to
yes,
find out more?
Very.
You want to research more?
I need an answer.
So even,
yep.
Yeah, so,
yep,
you,
I need
so
an
the,
answer.
Change was, the change was actually positive.
Exactly. Yep. And I don't believe it's wanting to hurt me at the time. Now that I look back at the time, I did. But I feel now if I didn't have that encounter, my mind would still be on that one channel. But it had to traumatize me to get me to where I am now. So it had a positive effect. And it changed definitely my whole way of thinking. It had to get me off that one mindset that, because you're stuck, they basically try and bring you up a certain way. You got to think this way, that way, nothing else. And if you do, then you're ridiculed. But I think that my encounter had to get me to switch my brain, to switch channels, to, and it had to put me in fear. And, you know, it had to make me look outside the box, start looking for answers. And if I didn't have that encounter, I wouldn't be where I'm at now with this.
And
so
when you say look outside the box, that's what we're talking about. The box is the box of beliefs. I believe this and not that, and then not that, and then not that. You see what I'm saying? You can the not that, it keeps on going. So let me give you another example of that. Okay, if I say, well, who are you or who am I, right? And I say, well, I'm Mike, and I have this education, and I was born in America, and I was and I have this much money, and I'm this year old, and I've had this many relationships. You know what I mean? So it's like I have a good little list of what I am, right? But if I flip that over and say, well, what are you not? Okay? Now I have to list, well, I'm not this chair I'm sitting in. I'm not the table that my foot is up on. I'm not the TV screen. I'm not these books and all the stuff in the books. I'm not this room. I'm not this house. I'm not the, you see what I'm saying? Pretty soon, you keep going with what you are not, and that includes the whole God dang universe. You see what I'm saying? You're not.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? So you're just the mere fact of believing that this is who you are excludes, shuts out the whole universe, which is okay, but I'm just saying, I'm using that as a dramatic example. Is the list of what you feel like is not you, what is exclusively you and what is not you, is huge. When the list of what is you is actually a pretty small list, you could probably write it on one sheet of paper. And this is what Sasquatch are doing. They're saying, look, we're all one. That is, you're connected to the tree, and you are part of the tree, you are part of the earth, you're part of the solar system, you're part of the galaxy, you're part of, you see, and the people who do remote viewing, like Dr. John was saying, they can feel something on another planet. They can see what's going on, you see, and how can you see what's going on another planet, or how can you see what's going on in Rome today, in a taxi somewhere? How can they do that? Because you have to actually be there, all one, connected, see? Or see what's going on Mars, or see what's going on in the South Pole. People can do that with remote viewing, and the only way they can do that is if there is no space and that they all are completely connected as one. That's the fundamental reality, and that's what Sasquatch are teaching us. We're all one. We know what's going on inside you 24 hours a day. All we have to do is feel you, and we know what's going on. You know, it's pretty amazing, really. That's the great gift of the Sasquatch. When they give you gifts, and they give you, little stick glyphs and little whatever it is, indications that they're around, or throw a rock at your house or something like that, or make little sounds, they're responding to you. You know, it's pretty amazing, really.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Definitely.
So, Michael, when did you start? Matt, let me just ask him a quick question.
Go ahead.
I want to ask him, when did you start this particular train of thought, you know, thinking about the, I guess, the spiritual nature of Sasquatch? When did this start and what made it happen?
Well, like I said, I did a lot of meditation. I had sort of this God realization business, and I had received initiation into Kriya Yoga from a living perfect master. And this guy wasn't in the room with me. He was somewhere else. And then he gives what some people would call Shaktipat, a transfer of energy. He transfers this energy to me. So I've known this kind of stuff, kind of the basics of it, for, I guess, from 50, 45 years, something like that. I've always known that. But
okay.
But with a Sasquatch, as soon as Sasquatch started coming around me, in other words, for a while they were kind of excited about me. I was like a new toy or something, you know. So they would come in my house all the time, and I would feel them. I'd feel them sitting next to me. Sometimes I'd feel them looking out my eyes. Sometimes I'd feel them, like, poke my feelings, like they want me to watch something, or I'm watching some kind of, you know, Bigfoot stuff. Like a Bigfoot, somebody telling their stories, and they'd be like being excited just to watch through my eyes. And I understood, right? I understood that if they can be sitting there in my house, right there in my house, invisibly in my house, then, and they can also be in my body, they can guide my feelings a little bit, poke me, you know, poke me in my feelings, make me inspired to research or make me inspired to watch something, right? They poke those feelings, and or like they definitely poke my feelings to go watch, to go to your Bigfoot conference. I was getting a big poke. Go do this, you know. But it wasn't in words; it was just in feeling. Go check it out, you know. So there's two things. So the first thing I did was I said, "Well, listen, if you guys are going to come in my house, what I really need to do is just invite you into my house and say, okay. I know you guys are out there. I'm just going to tell you that it's okay. I invite you into my house. I invite you, I'm going to give you a formal invitation to come into my house anytime you want. You know, they're invisible. They don't really bother me. They're a lot of fun to have around. So, and all they're going to do is make me feel something, and maybe they teach a little something or play a little prank on me, something like that. Okay, so that's one level. Right, and that's like a level of trust. Yeah, they're like, Sasquatch's not going to really hurt you. All they're going to do is come in and look at what you're up to, and just enjoy being with you. And then they're going to go away. They might not come back for 2 or 3 days or a week, but you know, you can feel them when they're there. Okay, that's the first level of trust, of just letting them come in your house, and you formally acknowledge that they can do this. And say, sure, come on in the house anytime you want, no problem. You know, just don't make a mess and, you know, whatever. Be polite. That's all you need to do. And then that gives them permission to come into your space, because they're about respect and permission, you know. Okay, that's the first level. The next level I understood was that these people were teaching me stuff. They started teaching me about the all one and no space. I mean, it was like it took a while for it to sink in how that's what they're teaching. They want to teach humans about the all one and no space. All one means that everything is connected, and no space means there's no space between me and you or me and a tree. It's not me, space, tree. There's only one space. There's just one me. It's just all one thing. So the next level is I understood that they were inside me and outside me. They're somewhere, you know, in the cavity somewhere physically, and they're inside me spiritually, right? So the next level was I said, you're welcome to come inside me. You are welcome in my body to come and see what I'm up to and look out my eyes or give me little hints or teach me or whatever you want to do, because we're like brothers, right? Because there's that deep soul connection of the all one and of the heart space, right? So those are two things that I did with Sasquatch pretty pretty early on. I guess it was 2014 or something like that when I really started to take it to that kind of level of trust. Yeah, and from then on, you know, it's just been like, you know, they come and visit me when they want me to do something, or if they want to check up on me, or they want to let me know that they're around, that they're watching me. So, you know, it's pretty much like a heart connection. I'm not really sure if I answered your question.
Well, yeah, you did. I mean, no, you gave me an explanation. That's what I wanted. So, yeah, great job, and thank you.
And then,
yeah.
Okay, the reason why I'm talking about all this high stuff about the yogis, about God-realized men, and about Christ, and all these really high spiritual humans that we've learned about, we've heard of. Most people have only heard about Christ. Is because the Sasquatch people are on that same level. As a matter of fact, they teach on that level. And then I was talking about on the last program we did about how this my Sasquatch teacher, my brother, at one time he came and stuck his hand inside my heart. And what I was doing was I was watching this lady, Kathleen Odom, and she was on the Fur and Cedar channel. And they were the first channel that interviewed Mike Patterson. You know, and from the Sasquatch, Ontario, he was big for a while, and so Kathleen Odom is talking about she was channeling the Sasquatch, and the Sasquatch were talking about all one, and then they got on to doing about heart light meditation, and what heart light meditation is, and they were talking about how you put the light of your breath into your heart, and then your heart starts to glow. When your heart starts to glow, then you keep filling your heart with light of your breath, and then your heart overflows into your body, right? Your heart light overflows into your body, and when your whole body is filled with heart light, then you can disappear, right? So I'm watching this on YouTube. Yeah, Fern Cedar, Kathleen Odom, I'm watching this. And the exact second she was telling this little story about breathing into your heart until your heart gets filled with light, and then the light overflows, right? As soon as she was saying that kind of stuff, I said to myself in my mind, I could never do that. I could never do that. And as soon as I said I could never do that, this invisible hand, the size of a baseball mitt, reaches inside my body. I mean, it's kind of hard. You couldn't even imagine. But if you could just imagine for a second if your body was just like an energy field and somebody could just pass their hand right through you, that's exactly what it was. But the energy in this my big brother's hand was so intense. It was about love. It was about energy. It was like a focus. So I had to focus my whole mind on that in that instant. And since, as I said before, I've already been initiated. I've been initiated into Kriya Yoga, which is Raja Yoga, which is the kingly yoga, the highest yoga in the world. I knew what initiation was. And this was an initiation into heart-light meditation. Then my brother Sasquatch, my teacher, took over my breath and had me breathing in my mouth hard, right, really hard. And as I breathed in really hard, my heart began to glow with like this little tingle. It's like you know, when you breathe too much, what's that? There's a name for that. When you breathe too much, your body starts to tingle. But anyway, so I was breathing into my heart, and he just kept it at. And as soon as that happened, I surrendered. I immediately knew that something was going on, and I needed to go with it. So I went with it, and he just kept going on there. And then that signature of his hand in my heart, I have never forgotten, because it was like an energy transfer. It was an energy upgrade. It was an energy focus onto my heart. Okay. And then from then that's exactly what happened. And I started practicing because I had already done like 12 or 13 years of this other meditation. And then I had took a break for like 20 years, and now here I am being initiated into this new heart light meditation. And the heart light meditation is how the Sasquatch go invisible. And it's actually really, 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 really simple. If you think of the light spectrum, right? You ever seen those one of those bars that shows the light spectrum? And it's just a really long bar. And then right in the middle of this long bar of the light spectrum, there's this little sliver of light that we see with our eyes, right? And then it goes all the way down into the infrared, all the way up to ultraviolet and gamma rays and all that kind of stuff. All you have to do is change, change the vibrational frequency of your light from the visible spectrum to the invisible spectrum, which doesn't take that much really, and you go invisible. It's as easy as that. And I tell you what, you do not feel it. I mean, you're feeling a lot of other things. You're feeling the energy in your body, and you have like a lot of energy, but you do not feel the process of going invisible. Because after I did this meditation for about a year, right, every once in a while they'd come and take over my breathing. My breathing would take over by itself, so I wasn't really breathing. You could actually feel like almost like the body was breathing in a really high, deep, and fast pace, like that. You know, it was really pumping it out. So one day I was doing that. They took over, and it felt like there was a couple of Sasquatch there, just kind of boosting up my energy. So I'm sitting there doing that. After about 10 minutes, I started getting scared because, you feel all this energy running around your body. It's just your breath being oxygenated. And so I got scared, and I sat up. You know, I was laying down because in order to do heart light meditation, it's really good to lay down and to not feel like you have to support your body or sit up straight or anything like that. You just lay down and completely let the breath do its thing. So anyway, I got scared, and I stood up, and I sat up, and I was in my pants, and I had my socks on, and just laying in bed. And when I sat up, the first, one whole full second, I was looking at my right leg, and my left leg was disappeared. I could see to my knee, and it looked like, but the whole left leg was gone. I could see the bed right through it. So they were basically they're not going to walk the walk for me, but they gave me enough of a boost so that I absolutely know that this is how they go invisible, by increasing the energy of their breath, filling their heart with breath, with energy, with light, and then when that light overflows their heart and fills up their whole body. It's like a little process. But these guys have been learning this stuff since they were born. Probably one of the first things that their parents teach them is how to do this. Plus, their energy is much higher than ours. They're higher vibrational frequency beings than we are. Just like the dolphins are a little bit higher frequency than we are. So they can do this naturally. And the phenomenal thing about me was I'm sitting there looking at my left leg, being invisible, and I felt nothing, zero, goose egg. You do not feel any different because there's no change. All you did is change the frequency of your light. You didn't change the matter. You didn't change anything. You just changed the frequency of light inside your body. So that's kind of where I'm at now.
Okay.
In a way, kind of what I wanted to get done talking about the last time we had a talk and this time is that it is entirely possible for some people will be able to go invisible. You know, the yogis do it. The gurus do it. These high enlightened beings do it because that's how they, that's what yoga is all about, is hatha yoga. You know, when you go to the yoga studios, all these ladies go to the yoga studios. What yoga is, that hatha yoga, all it is moving your body into postures and then filling that posture with the breath of your body, right? So you fill your whole body with light. And to do this, you can actually control how long you stay in the body. Because people who do that, real high spiritual beings can live a very long time if they want to. There's stories of Sasquatches that are 1,000 years old or 500 years old, stuff like that. Not all of them will do that. But
don't joke about it. But, you know, Methuselah lived 700 or 800 years. You know, obviously this technique is something that is more universal than just with Bigfoot. It's obviously.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yogis in India have done it about, like you said, the people in the Bible, they were living 800 and 900 years. And they were doing it because back then, before we had so much culture, there was a higher vibration on the planet. And then those guys, they knew this was just like a fact of life. It's sort of like walking and talking that we do now. They would do their breathing, and they would be able to keep their energy really high. And then they can last for a long time. But then as we sort of descended, got more gated and more gated, more beliefs, more limitations, more, you know, whatever, into our darkness. You know, now we're lucky to live 80 years.
Yeah. Matt, I want to apologize. My one small question got this nice long answer. What was your question? Will you be asking this one question that comes so much time? Can you forgive me on that one, buddy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was just gonna mention, like, these other, I was gonna ask him if these other beings, like, for example, these other cryptids, are they pretty much, I know everything is one, but like the Dog Man and Lizard Man, because of course we got Lizard Man coming up, are they all tuned in, just high energy like that, like the Bigfoot people?
Yeah, pretty much all of them. The star people, all the star people can do mind speak. All the star people, they can go invisible, or they have a very simple, very, very simple device that lets them go invisible. It all has to do is just change the frequency of light just a little bit, and they go invisible. So almost all of these cryptid, including the little people and the fairies and the gnomes and even the giants, they all know how to do this, because that's basically is our natural state. We come from that state. We come from that invisible state of light being, and we form a body, right? So almost everybody in the whole universe can do this. But I'm not saying like maybe dogs and cats and stuff like that. They can't really do it. But the cryptids, the ones that are kind of do paranormal stuff, they can do that. You know, when you hear about the Mothman, you can fly, and there's Batman people, there's things that are the, you know, all those things. They're all in that cryptid category where they can go through portals and that kind of junk. And the Dogman can definitely go through portals, and the Dogman can definitely do mind speak, and the Dogman can definitely project fear into you. But the Dogman is also a very high loving being. They're really high. Consciously, so that they have their job, and the Sasquatch has their job.
Have you ever had a mind speak or anything involved, anything to do with the Dog Man?
Yeah, I have actually. I had a dream one time. Which
sounds awesome.
Yeah, okay, that's actually kind of a really nice story. So, like, I didn't know that much about Dog Man, and I was kind of happy just to have Sasquatch, and I guess this was maybe 2016 or 17, and I heard a couple of stories about Dog Man, and I thought, so that's pretty cool, you know, one of the things I heard about was all these people talk about the terror, the fear, or, you know, all this kind of stuff. As soon as I heard that, I understood what the Dog Man was doing. And what Sasquatch does too is they will give you a big jolt of fear. And if you can face that fear like a man and just stand underneath that fear, just let it be, then they know you're worthy of being friends, you know? If you can't handle their fear, then you don't pass the test then even spending any time with you. You're just like any other animal. So you have to be able to conquer your fear for a Sasquatch and for Dogman and a few other of these creatures. And so if you can just come in your heart and just like not have any fear and just say, hey, how you doing? And then that really shifts everything. Dogman really wants to be known and recognized like Sasquatch. So that's why the Dogman are going around knocking on trailers and, you know, pestering people and trying to, like, be known, because they want the same kind of a thing. They want to make that interspecies friendship thing going on. And I think a lot of it has to do with survival of both the Dogman, Sasquatch, and humans. We need, all three of us need to get together with other cryptids too, because the little people, the brownie people, all of them are like wanting to come forward now and make that connection to humans, because our energy is rising. We have more awake people and we have more ET walking around people. But my experience with them was this, is I used to like do this thing with a Sasquatch, because I don't go in the woods, right? So what I do is, when I go to sleep, a lot of times I just imagine a Sasquatch, like this really nice Sasquatch lady. And I imagine that my pillow is her lap, and I just go to sleep on her lap, right? This is like a little fun thing to do. It's nothing serious. And I just feel like to allow myself to be comforted by this big, you know, feminine Sasquatch, loving mother kind of type, you know? So that's what it was my habit to do, was just fall asleep just feeling embraced by the Sasquatch people. Well, anyway, one night I was like, just, I was not quite asleep yet, and a dog man came to me. And the dog man was really cool. It was like, if you can imagine, you know, imagine a dog that really likes you, like, you know, let's say your neighbor's dog, or the neighbor's dog, every time he sees you, just gets all excited and wants to, like, you know, sniff on you and touch you and all that kind of stuff, and it's just so happy to see it wagging its tail. Well, this was the feeling that the dog man gave to me, right? In my dream, I wasn't quite a dream yet. It was more of like almost imagination kind of a thing, a fantasy or something. So anyway, so this dog man's like being real friendly, and I said, hey, buddy, how's it going? And, you know, but the dog man have arms, so they can touch you. It's kind of hard to imagine, you know. It's like you don't think of dogs. Dogs just have paws, but this dog man has, they can hug you and all this kind of stuff. And I thought that was pretty cool. I said, okay, I'll talk to you later. And, you know, and I was just like being real friendly with him, like he's my best buddy. And so that same dog man came back and visited me two or three more times, like before, just before I dropped off asleep. And then one of the last times that this happened, and he was like really happy to see me, one of the last times that this happened is he came with his mate and two pups. And so he wanted to show me his family. And this is all psychic. This is all in the all one. This is all in that no space kind of a thing. So he's coming, and he's like really happy to see me. And then he's showing me to his pups. Or either he's showing the pups to me, or me to the pups. And the pups were like the most amazing thing I have ever felt in my entire life, okay? You know how cute puppies are, right? When puppies, they kind of crawl all over you. They're happy to see you, and they're just so sort of full of energy and stuff. Imagine.
Yeah, they're crazy and wonderful.
They're just amazing. I mean, dog puppies, you know, they're so much full of play and everything. Okay, now imagine puppies, right? They were also like little monkeys. So little monkey puppies, they would crawl all over you. And just be so excited and happy and playful and touching everything and touching your hair and you know, just like the way a little puppy would do, except they're just so friendly and playful. And it's like, I couldn't believe it. It was like, I can't even describe it, how much fun it was and how, you know, it just touches your heart. You go, it's so sweet and so funny. So that's my story of Dogman. It was invisible, had, you know, so that's, like I said, I'm not a researcher. I don't go out to the woods looking for these guys. They come to me, I guess, when I need it. But that's my view of the dog man. And whenever I hear all this, the horror stories, you know, there's like four or five channels of dog man. It's nothing but horror story after horror story. And I go, okay, well, they got to go through the horror story phase before they get to the heartfelt stage, you know.
Well, let's figure it out. Even
makes
with
sense.
Humans, we have horror stories, don't we?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I've also been given a view into the past. Sasquatch have given me a view into the past, and Dogman have given me a view in the past, was it, because the past and the future and the present are all kind of connected. And we used to go to war. We used to have Sasquatch on our side in wars in the past. And at other times, we've had Dogman armies fight with our armies. So we have a connection with both the Dogman people and the Sasquatch people for a long time on this planet. And this whole thing of, when they talk about the giants and the giants and the Nephilim and all that kind of stuff, well, I'm not really sure what that was, but I got a feeling that the giants were actually on our side fighting against these crazy people who are burning people. You know, the Jewish people back then, they invented burnt earth warfare, where they go in and rouse a town, kill every man, woman, child, kill all the animals, poison the wells, and burn the fields. That's what they were doing. And so the giants possibly some of the others, but they were brought in to fight against them. So the stories can be flip-flop. I know that the religious people go nuts over that. But the Sasquatch says they weren't fighting in that war, but the giants were. And it was against the same kind of people that we've been fighting even now. The ones that we fought in Lemuria are the same ones that we're fighting now, same kind of lower lord people who are. But, you know, you talk about all the bad things that are going on in the world, all the stuff. Well, that's also spiritual, too. There's a spiritual warfare kind of going on, and we've been losing because we've been trained to not value the psychic side of life. And we're gated, you know?
Yep.
The people in power have been using wizards, soothsayers, warlords. They've been using people who can see the future, and you know, the oracles. The kings and rulers of this country have been using psychic warfare against the people for I don't know how long, since the beginning. And then they turn around and they kill off all of the druids and the wisdom keepers and the people who are doing earth magic and the people who are doing healing. They kill all those people off. They call them witches, right? And whenever the people of Europe went into America, the first thing they did is they killed the wisdom keepers and the shamans. They did it in South America. They did it in Brazil. They did it in Mexico. They did it in the United States. Anywhere they go, they kill all the wisdom keepers and the spiritual leaders and the healers. They kill them all. Kill all, and then take their history. This is like a spiritual warfare against the Wu. It's been a warfare against the Wu for, I don't know, a couple of thousand years, I think.
That's good.
How about stay in power, right?
Yep.
It keeps them in power. It keeps us powerless.
Awesome.
I'll give you one example of this, right? Everybody says they're Christian, right? I don't know how many different Christians. I could talk about being a Christian and stuff because I actually used to be a preacher at one time. I was like a guest speaker at some Southern Pentecostal church and that kind of stuff. But here's the thing that amazed me back when I was doing my little preaching stuff. It's like you have Christ, right? And Christ goes off into the wilderness and goes off into an orchard. And he meditates for 40 days and 40 nights. And this wasn't, I think it's mentioned a couple of times where he meditated, right? He meditated in a grove, and he meditated in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Has any of you ever heard of one Christian church that taught meditation?
Nope.
No. And it seems like that would be primary, because after he finished meditating and doing his meditation, when he was crucified, then he went invisible. And after that, he could go invisible. He could disappear and become and appear and do things. And you know, and as far as I know, he's still invisible, and people are still feeling him. And I mean, I know that for a fact. People are still feeling Christ, and he's invisible. And part of the whole story was he did this meditation, and he initiated his disciples into meditation. And that's why the early monks used to go off into the caves and meditate for, you know, for years on end and do prayers and meditation. Anyway, so that stuff has been kind of like downplayed and shamed and said it's no good and stuff like that. So we've been definitely cultured away from it.
Cultured away, that's a great phrase. I like that. Well, what, Michael, you have been very enlightening. We are coming to the gravel end of another foot, but it's been marvelous talking about everything from mind speak to, I guess, the natural powers of the body and how you can, you've learned from Bigfoot how to do certain things that work for you. And that's what we're all about. We're all about experimentation. We're all about learning how to do things and learning from, I guess, the teachings of everyone, including especially Bigfoot, because Bigfoot seems to be our buddy down here. As long as Bigfoot will be good to us. Is that correct, Michael?
Yeah, if you're friends with them, they'll be friends with you. If you don't care much about them, then they'll leave you alone. And if you really, really like them, then they'll give you a lot of attention. And if you really want to know truth, then they'll hook you up with a teacher who will show you truth step by step of what you need. And so that's pretty cool. It's like having your own invisible spiritual teacher.
Nice.
So
yeah.
any level you're at, they'll meet you at the level that you're at. You know, if you're like a hunter, they'll just let you hunt. They won't ever bother you, you know. But if you like to help people, or you like to help animals, you like horses, and, you know, you're like that kind of a heartfelt person, then they're going to be attracted to you because there's an openness in your heart, and you're, you know, they're attracted to heart-centered people, you know, kindness and playfulness. They love kids because kids are all in their heart and they're all playful, and the Sasquatch feel that.
And they can certainly help you.
They can certainly help you. Yeah, your life will be better.
Well, it will. They're the kind of practical help down here, because I guess we need practical helpers. So we have a Bigfoot, which is great. All right, we've had just a few minutes. Give us one part, Michael, about everything that we've talked about for 2 weeks. Give us the 3-minute thumbnail sketch of what we should remember about this marvelous 3 hours of talking with you on Bigfoot.
Okay, in a nutshell, the extraterrestrial people and the interdimensional people, which have been on this planet for millions of years, they are nurturing the human race through an awakening, and as we become more awakened and learn more about these energies that are around us, they want to join us with the galactic civilization. So we'll be part of a galactic community, part of this universe as an interstellar species. And to do that, they want to come and land on Earth. And in order to come and land on Earth, they don't want to deal with our governments or any government. They want to deal with people. So what they're trying to do is have people become good at mind speak and good at telepathy, so that the people who are good, psychics, the good at telepathy, can be the interpreters, because it's not just going to be one race of ETs. It's going to be literally hundreds and hundreds of different kinds of ETs. So you need an interpreter for them, so they can come here and do their research or set up universities or set up manufacturing or repair stations, all the stuff that you would do as a galactic outpost. Now, in order to do that, we as all of humanity have to be able to accept these odd-looking beings. They're not all going to look like us. And they're not all going to look like little grays. Some of them are going to be pretty intimidating-looking people. So, that's
so they're not going to be as cute as Matt.
Right, they're not going to be as cute as the Sasquatch.
Yep.
But anyway, that's where the Sasquatch claim would come in. The what's going on with the Sasquatch is as soon as we have enough human beings who can accept the Sasquatch as a people, and have good positive interactions with the Sasquatch as people, as different people than us, but as a different species. And that we don't want to kill them, and we learn from them. There's kind of an equal exchange back and forth. That is going to be the gateway for us to being able to interface and be comfortable with other types of extraterrestrial beings. And this is epic. And this is why what you're doing, and the people who are into the cryptids, and the people who are into the paranormal, the people who are into ghosts, the people who are into all these kinds of, all this stuff has to do with seeing into the other dimensions and recognizing the energy patterns and opening up their psychic abilities and allowing all this to be the way that it is. So we're in the middle of epic time where we went from being an outpost of these kind of very suppressed humans there will be a time when we will be a part of the galactic community, which means we will be able to travel the stars. Pretty cool. And that's what Sasquatch is doing, and that's what the ETs are doing, and that's what we're doing.
Well, that's great. Matt, thank you very much for bringing Michael on here. He was third guest. You guest, I bring guests too. We got 2 minutes. What have you got going on coming up?
Well, I've got the Lizard Man Festival this weekend. Looking forward to that again. That's always a great
Absolutely.
Time. And after that, then I've got the Harlan CryptoCon. Be over in Harlan, Kentucky the weekend after that. And then I'm going to do some – got another expedition coming up right after the Harlan. And then I'm going to take a little break and relax and pick it back up within – the next month. Pretty busy schedule.
All right.
Every weekend booked.
Bishopville County, South Carolina, at the South Carolina Button Museum. It will be great seeing you. Are you coming Friday or Saturday?
I will be there Friday.
Good, good. We will talk. I will know where to go and where accommodations are. We're looking forward to having you. Michael? Sincerely, thank you very much for being with us, and we will talk soon, okay?
Well, good job for you and for Dr. John and Matthew Delph. It's just, I'm glad you guys are out there doing what you're doing because, you know, people need to know, and it's exciting, valuable stuff. Good for you.
Well, thank you.
Well, thanks
thank
a
you.
Lot. And so we are pleased to present Michael Harrell, part two. On Bigfoot and Company. We'll see you guys next Monday at time 4 p.m. Eastern Time with another great guest. We'll really talk a little bit about Lizard Man and how much fun we had. Thanks a lot, everybody. All love to everybody. Hey, Bigfoot, anytime you want to come by, come on by. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.